This morning, we continue our Lenten series looking at our perceptions, how our culture can influence our perceptions of faith and how we live out our faith. And today we take a look at the book of Psalms in Psalm 8 that really invites us to reflect on our connection, the relationship we have with our God, and also kind of how things are ordered. When we think about that relationship that humanity can have with God, and they're thinking at a big, 50,000-foot view of this, it quickly can get overwhelming. There's been all kinds of, philosophers, all kinds of theologians who have, made careers trying to understand that relationship between humanity and God and humanity. And it really can be overwhelming when we take that examination of our faith. But I believe our God calls us forward, not that we have to understand all the fine details or the intricacies, of our connection, but rather to allow our God to be God in our lives. So I invite you to hear these words starting at the beginning of Psalm 8. We'll read the whole psalm this morning, verses 1 through 9. So hear these words. Our Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, out to the mouths of babes and infants. You have found a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the ways I liken the season of Lent is the opportunity for us to stand in front of a mirror and to look at that, to engage in that reflection of where we are now in this moment in our lives. And that annual kind of recurrence of this season, I believe, reminds us how important it is that we do assess where we are in our faith and where we are in our connection with God. Now, in recent years, it's become a really popular to talk about mindfulness. And I believe that practice of being present, in the space you find yourself now, I believe there is some positive merit to that, of being mindful of feelings, of your thoughts, and just where you are in your day. Some folks really take that the mindfulness practice to another level, where they have it structured at 8 o'clock. I will take 10 minutes to just be in that moment. I commend folks for that kind of dedication. I would love to be there with my life to be scheduled that way, but that is, I think, a healthy practice to be in that moment. As human beings, we can get pulled. We can get pulled forward. We can get pulled forward thinking about, tomorrow, the thing we have coming up in a week, the thing we have coming up, 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. I mean, you can really find all the worries to fill your day by just looking ahead. But we're not called to be forward, to be worried about tomorrow. We're not called to be there. But we're also not called to be back in the past either, where we take inventory of all the things, that we have done. And this is where I will go down that rabbit hole, so to speak, of thinking, well, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Did, I approach this matter appropriately? I mean, you can, in your own life, you can find all those things, all the things perhaps you've done well, all the things you may not be so proud of, things you've not done well. But we're called to be here, I believe, in this time, in this place, where we can reflect on that connection with God. Now, I also know if you use the metaphor of Lent being like a mirror where we can look at that reflection and see where we are, I also know there are mirrors in this world that can alter our perception. Now, the classic example is that of the carnival, you know, funhouse, for example, where you walk in and the mirrors, you know, might make you look, you know, really short and really wide, or they'll make you look really tall and slim, or the mirrors will just distort you in all kinds of awkward ways. The modern, I believe, interpretation of this is Snapchat filters, where you can pull this out and make your eyes real big and your mouth big. I mean, you find the filter, you can do that. There's kind of a modern example of that kind of distorted view of ourselves. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes, well, it's just a little weird, but it's there. However, I know as human beings, even if we have the most accurate mirror in front of us, where, I mean, it is scientifically perfect, we still come with our own perceptions, our own struggles to that reflection. That's why I believe our psalm today is helpful for us. The Psalm of David that we have grounds us, I believe, in that connection with our God and starts to guide us in our reflection of how we're called to be connected with God, how things are kind of ordered, you know, so to speak. I like this verse 5 that we have in Psalm 8. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Why I think this section, those verses, 5 through 8, are so fascinating for us is when we're talking about our connection with God, we tend to focus on the things that we have done wrong. We focus on our sin, and nothing wrong in looking at that, examining that, and moving past our sin and our brokenness. But we also forget that responsibility that is given to us, that responsibility and also the love that our God has for us. When we take a look at that responsibility and that love, it reminds us that our God does indeed care for us. Our God has hope for us. And as John, the reading out of John this morning reminds us of how Christ was sent into the world to give us that life, to show how God loves us and not to condemn us. I believe it's important that we are mindful of that when we go into that examination of where we are in our faith, where we are in connecting with our God. But I also know that when I start thinking of all the things I have done well, the things that have I'm proud of, the things that excite me, I also know that I can kind of puff myself up maybe a little too much. Start thinking I'm doing a little too good. And this is the challenge, I believe, of also examination of reflection, is it actually brings a little bit of idolatry into the picture. Because then when we're thinking of the things we have done well, the things that we are proud of, we might start thinking of ourselves a little bit better than God. When I think of the first part of the Ten Commandments, those first few commandments really focus on that relationship, that ordering, you know, of ourselves with God. And that we're called not to have any other gods before God, that we're not called to have idols before God. And there are times we can make ourselves that idol that was before God. But there's also a different way when we start looking at the things that we are not so proud of. We look at our sin and our brokenness, and we start taking a path, you know, in that examination. We begin to think, though, perhaps, maybe, that those things that we have done wrong, the things that we are not proud of, we might start focusing too much there and begin to think that those things are greater than God, that sin and that brokenness becomes an idol. Because we start thinking that God's grace cannot cover the things that we have done wrong, that God's love for us is not greater than that which separates us from God. It's a different form of idolatry in our reflection and our examination. What I believe is important for us is to be not so much grounded in our examination of the things we have done well or things that we have done wrong. I mean, take note of those things, be aware of them. What I believe is important for us as we go forward is grounding ourselves in God, grounding ourselves in that love and that grace that comes from God. Because then we are reminded of how God has created us, God has cared for us. And then when we start thinking too much of ourselves, we're reminded that we did not create the heavens and the earth and set the stars in motion. That was our God. But then when we start thinking that the things we have done wrong are too great for God's love and forgiveness, we're reminded of how Christ, you know, came into this world to redeem, to give life to the world, not to condemn and to judge, but to redeem us. Then we start taking those idols of ourselves, and we set them aside and let our God be God. The one who created us, the one who redeems us, and the one who calls us to new life. I believe as we take this time to examine ourselves, and take this time in this season to grow in our faith, to grow in our connection with God, and grow in our connection with each other as well, I believe we're called to have God be at the center, to be reminded of our God as creator, our God as Redeemer, and through Jesus Christ who gives us and shows us that new life, that new beginning. I believe for us as a people of faith, this is where we are called to go with our lives, to experience God, to connect with God, to be restored and redeemed, not to be focused on ourselves, but on the hope that God has for us. And it's not easy doing this. It's not always comfortable. But I believe it is life-giving. I believe we experience grace when we examine and we grow in our faith. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this season, but all of our lives, may we be grounded in our God who has created us and redeemed us. May we be reminded that our God has given us responsibility, cares for us, loves us, but our God also redeems and extends grace to us and calls us as his people. May we live in this hope and in this promise, not only now, but all of our days and the days to come. Amen.